How's it going, people? It's your boy, the director, Chris Keeling, on another Geek Ultra podcast. It is September 29th, 2019. It is the 19th anniversary of mine and the lovely and talented Sarah the Ted. Happy anniversary, baby.
Happy anniversary.
Tonight's subject, we are going to talk about role-playing games, and in particular, when you get to being in a new group or you're new to the setting. With me tonight, again, is the lovely, talented, beautiful other half, Sarah the Ted.
Hello.
Usual collaborator, Elisa Whittle Alice Wiggins.
Hola.
And with us tonight is a now seasoned podcaster, by one with the CK Project, Sarah's cousin, Caleb Dorado. Give a what's up.
Hi.
Okay. Ooh, simple. Okay. So let's talk. We bought a D&D starter set for the campaign. It fits in with fifth edition, which, you know, most people who've ever played knows that the second edition was the pinnacle for so long. It's been forever since I game mastered, and I've never game mastered D&D, but it was fun. I think we had fun. We had the young ones, Lily and little Chris, involved. I think they had fun. I don't know if little Chris processed the whole thing, but he seemed to have fun regardless of, and I think he will continue as we go along. So let's talk about our experience of our first game of D&D together like this. Sarah the Ted, my wife, my lover of 19 years.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you give your experience of you playing and absolutely
playing it this way?
Yeah.
It was easier. I hate generating my character. I hate making my own character. I like picking my character, but I hate making my character. I hate all the concept that it takes to do that. Having these pre-generated characters with everything on it made it so much easier.
Okay. And how do you feel that you had to help our son get into learning it? He seemed to have fun when he was rolling dice.
He was getting it. I mean, with his disabilities and his math, it was teaching him to add the dice together, so that really helped.
Yeah, see? So education through game playing. It's a real thing,
yeah,
folks.
Because he goes, you mean you got to add the numbers? And I go, yeah. What you roll on the dice, like I said, I was telling him, what you roll on the dice plus whatever it is on your paper, that's what you get. So he was counting that out, so that really helped.
Yeah. So let's turn our attention to Elisa. And so you've actually have done a little bit of role playing with us, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
How do you consider that experience to this experience?
Well, this one was a simpler gameplay, but we were introducing it to kids. But it was a fairly well thought out strategy. The character pages were a hell of a lot easier.
And
all in all, I had a pretty fun time.
I agree. I think that this being a starter pack, so to say, with pre-made characters, I do think it helps sped up a lot of time. But, you know, if you're gonna play and you've never played, you seriously need to take a night. If you're gonna customize, make your own characters from scratch, and just do that and get it prepared for a campaign. That's my opinion.
Oh, I agree, because, you know, we've played before where we've done that. It made characters and then played, and it's like 3.5 hours later, we're all finished with our characters, and then we play, and then by 5 o'clock in the morning, we're like, we're not even a quarter of the way
well,
through
I,
the campaign.
And
well,
I
one
saw
of the things I found that, when I like generating characters, but
mm-hmm.
I like writing stories.
Yeah.
I would just sit in front of a TV, write down a character.
Sure.
So, let's turn to the young sir. Caleb, you've done a bit of role-playing in your time. What did you think of this compared to other times?
Well, this was a lot more organized, and it was to be honest, it was a lot more fun because you have this system and you're not going off the top of your head.
Right. And I'm gonna add, because I was DM, and honestly, usually when I play anymore, I don't want to game master shit. And I'm only saying this because if I'm going to do it right, and I like that we have pre-made adventures, and I'm having to learn how to read it and, you know, brush up on it a little bit. But I'd rather have the pre-made campaigns because, and I'm not going to say it's because I'm lazy, because I'm not. I mean, if I was to go out and write the whole thing by myself, you know, it'd be pretty awesome, because I'm a storyteller. That's what I do. I write, and that's why I don't want to write my own campaign, because I'm too busy producing content for other things. But it may come down the line where, oh, hey, we've been playing for a while, let's do it. But it, like I said, the kids look like they had a lot of fun. But it does, it helps that going off of the pre-generated stuff and kind of getting personalities for each of the characters, it was kind of fun to play with. And then it gives you something that you can try to emulate as you play, you know, whether Snooty Douchebag Knight or
Noble, not a knife.
Or a noble, okay, or kind of messed up cleric dwarf, who I still say cleric dwarf, really, it's like
it's like having a woman's job, but I still get a kick out of the naked naughty dwarven cleric bits we all got to preview.
I do gotta admit, that was kind of fun adding that in, because I could play off of that, and you know, it was humor. The kids got a kick out of it. Well, little Chris thought it was funny because he's 13. And when I said look like Captain Caveman,
everybody broke oh my god. We should have tape recorded and just played it back.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely something that I noticed, you know, today's generation, today's kids, you know, D&D's now kind of making a comeback because, you know, you got the shows like Stranger Things that highly focus on the fact that D&D's a prevalent part of these teenage kids' lives. And you know, because most kids play video games. Heck, you know, they play, oh, I'm going to go play some Skyrim or Baldur's Gate or Dragon Quest, and then nobody really thinks, so they don't think anything of it, like, oh, this is an interesting gameplay. Well,
came from somewhere.
It all came from somewhere, and let's face it, D&D's the OG that everything's based off of.
Long live Gary Gygax and his memory.
So what about you, sweetie? What do you think? Do you think this is definitely gonna work out in a bit our favor, playing like this? Do you think it'll keep people engaged?
I think it will for the meantime, till the kids get an idea of how, till the little ones get an idea of how to play, and then if they want to, you know, generate their own character, then make their own story up for their own character, that's fine. You know, but as of right now, this is an easier way to teach them how to play. And, you know.
Right. And I saw, well, we're at our local game store. They had decks of cards for magic cards for spells. So I wonder if that's an ancillary that would help better keep track of what your powers are. I kind of would dig if you could have that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
To where, you know, you had cards like, oh, this is my supplies, your weapons, you know, and instead of having to look through the book for all the characters, you have stats for like your creatures, and you know, characters have their character sheets.
But I think that would be easier for a little Chris if he had the cards, and if he had a character that had spells and it had his all spells right there, and weapons were right there, or, you know, stuff like that, so that he knew what he was going through and he could see what they looked like and stuff like that. That'd be a lot easier for him to understand what he's doing. Plus, if he got, you know, yes, the character sheet works for him, but with his reading level, the cards might be a little easier.
Right, that, and because half the words that are on it are, like, words you wouldn't see in normal
everyday society. The game, though, he got what provision meant, and he got, you know, dexterity, understood what those meant as we were going through it, but other than that, he wouldn't have known what those were, yeah.
And, you know, then there's also, I think, the advantage of creating your own characters is that you can put more of what you want into them. I know it takes forever to actually customize a character, but there's something fun about going off of your regular classes and finding something else. Like, I know the first time I ever played, I was a monk, and I ended up getting it leveled up because they only fight with fists. That he ended up being able to hit like twice with one fist. It was cool. Sorry, we're being distracted by wild animals. Caleb, stop being a wild animal. Okay.
Right.
But. You know, and outside of that, this style of gameplay, maybe it appeals to them. And, you know, you could always take it, because we've got Descent, which is the same thing, only board game-wise, and maybe it'll interest them more, because it infuses more of tabletop miniature gaming. True. With that, or, you know... And if he goes, oh, what else is out there? They've got Pathfinder. They've got several variations off of the Dungeons & Dragons series. We're playing off of Forgotten Realm. There's so many others. Waterdeep. And Star Wars. I'll be honest, that's where I started my GMing was... Star Wars.
You're forgetting White Wolf, with the vampires, the werewolves, the mummies, the
magic. Oh, Vampire users. The Masquerade, yeah.
Yeah, they handle all the spooky scary.
Yes. But I first started out with role-playing games with Vampire the Masquerade.
I started for tabletop.
Uh-huh.
The now debunked and no longer made Rifts.
Oh, yeah.
I miss that game.
The first game, the first role-playing game like this I ever knew of was a James Bond game that my parents bought. They hated it, but I think I tried to look it over one time. And the first game I actually ever really tried to play was a Marvel role-playing game. But we never quite got to that. But, you know, it's about imagination, me... being the storyteller. I actually like DMing, but then again, I also like the acting part and being a character in the party and making those decisions. So, but in this type of setting, I think I'm more interesting as a GM because I put something in it that, with the kinds of games we play with our friends, they go kind of vanilla and plain off of it, and I like putting emotion and personality behind everything.
Complexity.
Exactly.
The few times I get asked, I end up pretty much being the evil dungeon master who twists with their little mind, and 10-1 they don't survive it. But when it comes to me, I'm pretty much of the rule of, if you're expecting to hack and slash, you gotta think. If you're expecting a thinking game, expect to blow stuff up and win. If you don't do such things, you're gonna die.
Well, I know tonight, and like I say, I'm kind of a generous DM. Especially like, yeah, Chris got like a 20, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna make him do something awesome with it, and I gave him 2 free kills just because. But otherwise, if everybody was a bit more experienced, I wouldn't be playing that. But I want to keep the kids engaged. I want, like, oh, this is exciting. I did really well, so yay. He point blank shot 2 goblins in the face with arrows. He's just like a regular Clint Barton there.
Yeah.
You know, and I let Caleb's hands get all crazy and heal themselves up, which really, you know, but it's good. It's all in good fun. We're not gonna kill everybody off on the first small part of a campaign. I mean, if you think of it, two young ones who've never done anything like this, you know, or oh shit, they're dead.
Only problem that Lily had was that she has a hard time keeping interest with certain things. I mean, she got interested, but then when we were doing our stuff and we were taking our time on each one of our turns, if it wasn't really focused on her, she'd get fidgety and do other things and get bothersome and stuff. That's the only problem, you know, I saw with that. She didn't pay attention to the story too much. She got bothersome.
Well, hack and slashes are usually really good for intros.
Mm-hmm.
When you start really thinking it out, that's a little more advanced, so...
Yeah.
I wouldn't put her on the Sherlock one yet.
Yeah, true. But yeah, that's all I'm saying is certain kids, you know, have that attention span. But they... Sorry.
No, it's okay. On. It's late, you know. It's like midnight, 1 o'clock almost. Hey... We're doing a late night, early morning podcast. So, let's go on beyond role-playing games. Let's actually talk about games in general, you know. There's so many games out there. What are some of your favorite games, Caleb? What do you like playing? Obviously, I hear you go, I want to play Risk.
Yeah, I love playing Risk. It's just... really fun. The more people, the better.
Like strategy games.
So I have a friend from high school. His name's Noel. You know, he's like you. He's a dwarf. He's not very tall. Noel loved World War II. And he would have his Risk game out, and he would always replay the Blitzkrieg just all the time. It's so I guess he was really into it. So I think Risk was his favorite game, too.
We played Star Wars Risk.
I know, we have Star Wars Risk.
I want to play that so bad, by
the way. Long live the Empire!
I don't even know, it's a prequel trilogy stuff, which is fine, whatever. So, what about you, Sarah the Ted? What's some of your favorite games? What are games you grew up on that you're like, oh, these are the best games ever?
I don't know, I grew up with the classics, you know, Monopoly.
You was a Clue person.
Clue, I love Clue.
And you know they got a new addition in Clue that adds like 4 more rooms and 2 more characters and more weapons, and I'm like, yeah, we can get down with this.
But I'm a trivia person. I like Trivial Pursuit.
That's right.
No one likes to play it with me because I hate it when people say, I feel so stupid.
You know, I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, I feel so... I'm like, I should know this.
I've played several editions of it. Like I've had the Silver Screen edition, which is pretty cool.
That one I could probably play.
Yeah, I've played, you know.
Or my favorite version, Star Wars Trivial Pursuit. Me and my dad were like neck and neck in that whole thing, and then I was just like, and then I took him out.
I got the 80s edition for my birthday.
I'm champion, right?
We ended up playing the Harry Potter one for the book opening for The Cursed Child.
We did. The Harry Potter one was fun.
Right, so...
You know, and like I said, the 80s, when I turned 30, I got the 80s edition, so that was kind of cool. But no one likes to play them with me. Like I said, everyone feels dumb when they play.
Yeah, I feel that way too, especially when got friends who you don't think much of. And then, I mean, not to make it sound like that, but you don't think much of what they know, and then all of a sudden it knows all this stuff about space. How the fuck do you know that, dude?
Oh, our friend
seriously.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Our friend Jerry.
Where the hell did that come from?
Yes, our friend Jerry, he knows everything. He knows NASA stuff. And then we got our friend Terry. He knows the sports, the baseball.
Right.
You know, and stuff like that. So it's like,
I'm the arts and science.
So let's, what about you, Elisa? What are some of your favorite games? I know what's not your favorite game.
Yeah.
Machi Koru.
No. That game pissed. I hate playing it with you two.
Why? Because I kept whooping everybody's ass.
No, because you are a poor winner and she's a poor loser at that game. Y'all are just a nightmare. The first time I played, I won. I don't know how I won. It was just beginner's luck. And I ended up getting hugged by her and Terry. And half the time I thought she was going to cut off the circulation because you beat him.
She was pissed.
Yes!
The first 21 games we played of that, I took it all. And she was like, and you know, your cousin's not verbally like me, right? She said so many four-letter words about me and towards me. She's all like, "God damn you, you bastard." I'm like, "You won."
Okay.
And then I get this, you know, I get that smile, and that just pissed her off even more.
Yeah.
Okay, but
back to what I like. Okay, currently, as a middle-aged, I love Zombicide. And if I could afford everything, I'd buy everything. Just if I could play it for myself.
Oh, you know, so speaking of
young adult, I can't remember. Or role playing games, just in particular. Especially Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, 10. But as a kid, I was addicted to Clue.
I like murder mystery games.
Yeah.
My parents have that one on beta that I always wanted to play, but there's no beta player around.
No, that beta Clue is dope, man.
Oh,
I don't know who played. I do not know who played Miss Scarlet, but dang.
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I saw that one in their game closet. It's like, I've always wanted to play, but we don't have a beta player around
so,
to play it.
If we go vanilla board games, Monopoly's my game. However, nobody likes playing with me because as soon as I get Boardwalk and Park Place, they're
Satan to win. Sorry.
Yes, yes. When we play, if I get there, I get referred to as Satan because I'm very competitive. But my favorite game is Zombicide, and which is funny because as I follow Cool Mini or Not, and they do Kickstarter games. They're getting ready to do a second edition of the original Zombicide. And I'm like, I've been doing overtime at work because you got to pay bills and adulting sucks. But however, I will do some overtime and I think I'm going to lay some money down on that Kickstarter. Because
awesome.
I think they're also bringing out some of the exclusive survivors back. And I still want my Danny Trejo. El Cholo. But I like it because it's a co-op game. Even though Elisa gets us killed half the time.
I get us killed. No, you get me killed.
You're the one. Don't open the... Oh, you opened the door. We're dead. Thank you.
Yeah, and who's the one telling me to open the door?
Never me.
No. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
No.
Anyway, I still love playing Wanda, the wheelchair... wielding waitress. She's awesome. She rocks.
Yeah, I think we're gonna do something and maybe actually film us playing the full campaign just so people can get an idea of what I do as a storyteller. But the stories are already made. I just set them up in their own seasons and scenarios. So you add to it and it's great. It's a good time. Yeah, man, that's good fun. I think it's good fun also for the fact is if you take the time, you sit at a table, you play a game, you connect with people. You play online, you play on a console with your
headphones.
Well, no, even if you're playing with, like your spouse, children, friend, it's not like the face-to-face interaction that you have at a board game. That's mm-hmm. how I feel. And there's a lot of good ones, and, you know, most people, the average mortal out there knows the basics, Monopoly, Candyland, Sorry.
Is she got a York on my jeans?
No.
Wild animals, damn it. Anyways,
pugs, wild pugs, be specific.
Specifically. But, you know, honestly, there's those European games that are great. I think outside of Zombicide, I like Settlers of Catan. I think that is one of my favorite games. Have you ever played?
No, actually, I have not.
It's based off of a story in the scriptures about the Settlers of Catan.
Yes, it is. Yeah, don't ever play that game with Autumn. You leave the room and you come back and, yeah, she'll screw you over. She did Uncle Ben. Her Uncle Ben, she screwed over.
Yeah, she ends up owning the board if you look away for too long.
Negative. You just gotta know how to do it. Never leave the table before the bathroom.
Won twice at Catan. That's it.
I like Ticket to Ride.
Yeah, somebody don't like trains in here, so we don't play it. Because we're considerate of our friends that way.
Yeah, they got Ticket to London, but you don't play as a train. You're not a train.
You're a tour bus.
You're a tour bus. Or you're a fancy English car.
So let's put up a debating question, and viewers can hear this and submit what your opinion is to this as well. What's better, board games or card games?
Definitely
board games.
What do you call? What are you considering? Like what card games? Like old fashioned
Uno, Skippo, poker. Magic the Gathering.
Okay, Uno and Magic are really fun, but I still prefer board games.
It depends on the type. If you're doing an icebreaker type party and pull out the cards. If it's friends and family and you don't mind heated debates, pull out the boards.
Yeah.
Well, and
it just depends on the situation.
Well, card games, like we've got Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, let's bring, and you know what? I'm not gonna lie. I don't know if I could. So, me being me, you think I could pretty much handle playing those games with anybody? I have a limit. Surprisingly enough, I actually have a limit on who I would play. One, I would never, and I'm gonna go kind of not safe for work here for a minute, right? There's certain things, I will not play that game with my parents. I do not want to hear the term pixelated bukkake come out of my mother's mouth.
Exactly.
I don't want to hear Rush Limbaugh's soft, shitty body. Well, actually, I'd be okay with that. But needless to say, some of the words, some of the cards, I would not want to hear out of my parents' mouth. And on the flip side, I don't feel comfortable playing with children. I've played with people 15 and under before due to parents like, oh yeah, let them play. And I'm just like, it's your choice.
Well, at that age, younger than a certain age, it's like they don't understand half those words because what are we doing half the time?
Yes. So on the flip side of that, Cards Against Humanity has increased my vocabulary.
There's a reason why it says 17 and older.
So I might play with you. I just, bloody droids, always going off every time. Damn that R2-D2.
But, geeks.
Well, yeah, back in the card games. Yeah, you've got your original deck of cards and you play your original card games. But, you know, like we have several different card games. You know, I am a Munchkin fan. I play Munchkin, so there's that. That's a card game.
Well, you know, when we were
Pokemon's
playing
a card game.
When we were playing Munchkin, after a while playing with the people we did, I just got to the point where I actually hated it.
No, people cheat.
Oh, I know. So moral of that story is don't cheat, because if you cheat, I ain't gonna play no games with you. I don't care. Yeah.
Even if it's encouraged by the makers.
Exactly. Keep it clean.
Well, it depends on how the cheating is on the card. That's all that matters. But, I mean, and we've got, like, Gloom. Gloom's a good card game, you know, or Flux. There's many Flux games out there. But, you know, it just depends on the card game, because I do like card games. I like certain deck-building games, card games, but I don't like Magic. We were in our lovely local game store today, and there was a Magic tournament going on.
And yeah. we know people who like Magic. I respect that.
Yeah.
You know, I used to play Magic like way long time ago, back before the dark times, before the Empire. And I've even played a Star Wars card game, you know. But I don't know. I can't get into that stuff anymore. Especially where it seems like Magic is like, oh, you have to get the latest and greatest stuff just to be able to succeed in the games. I had a red deck that was... I was brutal, man. I could kill somebody in like 4 turns because I had like 4 of all the good spells.
Well, okay, when you want to go with kids, you know, our kids, for instance, little Chris likes card games like that, though. He doesn't like Magic, but he likes, you know, card games like when that Disney game, I don't know, Club Penguin, you know, and they have a game. He has a game that he plays that's kind of like Pokemon.
Yeah.
Which is simple. Pokemon is a very simple game. So, you know, I don't know if he'd understand Yu-Gi-Oh, but that's more a little bit complicated. But, you know, some of those games are simple. It's all because it has less reading and it's more visual for him to play.
Right, and you know, like you said, Club Penguin, you know, it's simple. You got the letters, you got the numbers, and that's it. You don't have much of anything else that would impede you from playing something simple.
When you play it, you know, you were ice, water, fire. You were the elements, and you had to figure out which element beat what element. It was pretty simple. You know, so yeah. So, you know, we just try to find certain games that work with his disabilities, because if you know anybody or have anyone in your family that is autistic or any disability, you know, or even with a mental disability and have a hard time reading or hard time processing things, you just got to find the right game that will keep their interest and they'll understand.
And that's also the trick there, what you're saying, because, you know, not all, and this is kind of going off of the geek topic a little bit, but, you know, not all parents really want to take the time and patience to introduce their kids who may not quite understand new concepts and new ways of thinking, just like playing a dice game or playing a board game. Comparing that to playing Dungeons and Dragons, it's very much it's a different way to play.
Well, I know a lot of parents, you know, and especially people in, you know, in the school district, that automatically, what games do they have? The classics for the kids. Candyland, or Chutes and Ladders, or, you know, Memory, or stuff like that, no matter what age you are, that in the classrooms with disabled kids, that's the games that they come out and they play, because they think that's all those kids, you know. I don't know if they think that's all the kids can play, but there are games out there that we play that have junior versions, that if you take the time to teach a kid with a disability, they might be able to learn it.
No, like Catan Junior.
Catan Junior is so simplified, but I've looked at it. It's such a simplified version of Catan that it's so easy that a kid, you know, with certain disabilities could probably learn it if you took the time to sit and teach them.
Yeah, and it's funny, because it goes back to how you're saying teaching little Chris how to play D&D. It's getting into, we're at a point in our lives where a lot of imagination's gotten out of things. Why your toys make the noise, your toys move, you know, they do all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of imagination's getting taken out of things. And then you know, oh, you play your video games, you don't have to imagine anything, you go with the mechanics and you play a video game. It tells you a story, you know. Most board games, you just follow the rules and you have no imagination there. This takes you back to, oh, you have to play this game and picture it in your head on what it might look like.
Yeah.
And, you know, it teaches you to free your mind that way, which is a lot of things that doesn't end up happening in today's society. Everything's automated for us. Oh, I'm gonna shoot the gun, pew pew, and then no, you actually get a sound coming out, so you don't have to pew pew or whatever. So I think it's fun. I think it's a great way to engage people's minds.
Yeah.
And like you said, if they get into it in particular, they're gonna learn basic math skills from it.
Yeah.
And where little Chris has struggled, maybe like, I get it, he can't do fractions, but you tell him how to cook something, and if you really looked at everything from that angle, guess what? All of a sudden, he can do fractions, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't know, you guys got anything else? I think this is going to be a short one, and I would talk a little bit about some games. We might do a couple of podcasts on game reviews at some point. I know with this kind of took a little bit longer to get with the D&D tonight to get started. But once we got going, we did a little bit. Anyways, so I'm going to say it. Anybody got anything to say, babe? You got anything to say?
No.
Lisa?
Nope.
Caleb?
No, go.
No, go ahead. You got something to say, bro?
Well, I was actually going to see if everyone wanted to, video games. I was wanting to see what everyone's first video game was.
Okay, so that's a good idea. Alisa.
Final Fantasy VII.
That was the first video game you ever played?
Good.
Really? So, what's your first video game?
Halo Combat Evolved on the original Xbox.
The first video game you ever played?
Yep.
Okay. God, you guys all suck. Ready? So, I'm 40. I've been playing games since I was 2. The first video game I ever played was Donkey Kong on the ColecoVision.
Yeah.
Before it came out on the Nintendo. So, ah, yeah. Now, you want to hear a tidbit about video games and me? I have played every console I've ever personally owned except for the original Game Boy. I've actually had a Spider-Man game on every single system. But I have also played a video game on the Game Boy. So that's my fact. Now let's talk. Favorite video game. I'm going to say you're going to say Final Fantasy VII.
No.
No?
Final Fantasy X. Sorry, I think
7 was it. What about you, babe? What's your favorite video game?
My favorite video game?
The kind that scared the crap out of her.
Silent Hill. Is my favorite psychological thriller. I like psychological horrors.
Alright.
I always have.
What about you, Caleb? What's your favorite video game?
Oh man, it's tough. I'd say it has to be between Halo 2 and Assassin's Creed 2.
That's cool. All right.
Wait. Favorite obscure game.
What do you mean?
One that nobody really knows about that you've played that is awesome.
Oh, yeah, I got one. It was Final Fantasy XII.
Discworld 2.
this world? What's that
Death
about?
Takes a Vacation. It is set in the Terry Pratchett verse. Bad graphics, slow time with nightmare and all, but it was just hilarious.
Okay, obscure video games for me. Okay, I'll get you. I got you guys. One of the Leisure Suit Larrys. It was hilarious. That shit was hilarious. Yes.
That was the one that we borrowed.
That game was fun. Otherwise, my all-time favorite video game, it depends. I really like Assassin's Creed 2, mm-hmm. but I actually think I like Odyssey the best out of the series, right? However, my favorite all-time favorite video game is Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Outside of that, but that is on like the PlayStation and Xbox. I have a favorite music game. I love Rock Band. And I have a favorite PC game, which is The Sims. But overall, all-time favorite video game, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Who doesn't like being God and being able to make your Sim die whenever you want?
So I liked Grand Theft Auto San Andreas so much, I beat that game as full as you can, story mode and stuff, 5 times. And I was just on the PS2, and then my PS2 just went to shit, and I bought it on the Xbox, and I beat it an additional time.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And my favorite video game character of all times comes from that game. He was the blind mobster guy in San Fierro. Woozy. Love that character. Hilarious. Great writing. Dan Houser, mad props, dude. I love your stuff.
What about your favorite obscure?
Leisure Suit Larry.
That was weird. I will tell you, that one was kind of funny watching him play.
No, or that DOA, the one with all the women wrestlers.
Oh, that was another one we borrowed from.
The Jiggle Factor with the boobs on. That was so great. It was hilarious.
That was like that. What was it called? Something Rose or something? Whatever.
Oh, Rumble Rose. Rumble, yeah, that's Rumble it. Rose.
That's what it was. That was hilarious. Yes. But no, obscure video games that I've played. Let's see. I don't know. Like I said, I love Silent Hill. I've also played... Oh, okay. Something about me, Silent Hill, since it's my favorite horror game. There was an obscure Silent Hill game that was an online game that was only on the internet that had to do with a postal worker from Silent Hill telling a story. I was so surprised one year when we went down to Universal Horror Nights at Universal Studios and... they had the Silent Hill maze, which was amazing. I loved it. It was, and the postal worker standing outside in the while you're waiting in the line, and he's telling you the story about Silent Hill. And I don't know too many people that actually know about that game. I actually came across it on the internet by looking up something for Silent Hill. And it was very weird that, you know, I wasn't expecting that at all. But that's one of the things, you know, since I'm a big Silent Hill fan. But I also like, I don't know how obscure it is. I mean, if you're into the horror genre of video games, Fatal Frame.
Oh, yeah, I actually would say that was kind of obscure. That wasn't something that ended up being...
Where the only weapon you have your in camera. The whole entire game is a camera.
Yeah, that was kind of... I remember playing that.
Mm-hmm. As a photographer, I thought it was really cool.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. I remember I was playing it. Okay, with that being said, does anybody have any last final comments?
Every time somebody talks about how D&D is the devil's work, I suggest thinking in your mind, which is what I do, the song from H.R. Puff and Stuff. And just replay it in your head, it'll drown them out, trust me.
Oh, yeah. We went to the Halloween Spirit store the other day, and I looked at the Ouija board and go, hey, Caleb, let's do something stupid. Let's go summon a demon. Anyways, so I take it that's it. if you're listening, I'm going to say it. Follow the podcast on whichever device you end up listening to us on, because we want our subscribers to be the first ones to hear the new content. And then you can hit us up and like, you guys suck, come up with something better, or you rock. Hey, that's what we like doing. As with that being said, this is the director. It's a wrap. You all have a good night.